fantastic. I've been married to the dashing Toby LD, who's in the house over there, for nearly 2 years. We live in Fletton. And just fun fact for you, I would love a lion haired rabbit. There we go. So moving on. Today we are going to be looking at something which for some people here in this room might be very familiar. For others, you may never have even heard of it. And both are completely fine. It's a bit of a funny word called prophecy. So I'm going to give you 30 seconds, only 30 seconds, to talk to the person next to you, people around you, to discuss what on earth prophecy might be, okay? So 30 seconds, first thing that comes into your head, go. Okay, that was 30 seconds thereabouts. Someone shout out to me. Come on, talk to me. What did you get? The first thing that came into your head. The future. Something about force. Yeah. Okay, interesting. Something from God. Love it. A message. A word from God about someone else. Oh, you guys are awesome. I may now not need to continue my talk, which would be fine. But I will. I'll keep going. Okay, so according to the Oxford English Dictionary, because I looked that up, I thought that would be a good place to start. Prophecy is this. A prediction of what will happen in the future. Someone said that. Well done. However, I know this is a full-on dictionary, but I would just like to put it out there that this is not the whole picture that the Bible presents about what prophecy is. I think prophecy is way more than just God revealing something about the future. For me, and what the Bible says, prophecy is all about God speaking to us. Sometimes it can be for ourselves, sometimes it can be for other people, it can be about the past, or the present, or the future. And I just would like you to know that if you are a Christian and you're here today, prophecy is for you. Not you in 20 years' times when you've got more life experience. You right here now. So there are four books in the Bible that give accounts of Jesus' life called the Gospels. And John is one of these. And we're going to read just a little bit from John. And it's talking about sheep. Okay, because at the time it was written, people knew about farming. So there we go, bit of background. It's Jesus speaking, and he is talking to some people called the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees were very, very high up in society, and they just were quite against, well, not quite, they were very against Jesus' teachings. So are you ready? Here we go. John 10, verse 1 to 4 says this. The good shepherd and his sheep. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold, that is, the pen that the sheep were kept in, by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one... Hello? Oh, yeah, right. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his sheep, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. So why do I, and why should you, right now, care about sheep? It's a valid question. The point is this. How do the sheep know their shepherd? They recognize him because they listen out for and they know his voice. And we are like these sheep and God is like our shepherd. We can listen out for and know his voice too. So here's a story for you about my life. When I was between the ages of 7 and 15, there I am, looking glamorous in pink, in a land far, far away called Bath, I went to a lovely Anglican church, which was very small, in a very small village. Now, it was pretty tradish. And for those that don't speak in shorthand, that means traditional. I speak in shorthand a lot. We had a very little portable organ. We had a robed choir, And it was just quite conservative in many ways. So I went through the kids groups and the teenage group, and I can honestly thank God for my time at this church, because I learned so much about him. I learned awesome Bible stories. I learned that praying is really, really important. And I also learned that being part of a church family is God's real desire for us, for his people. But do you know that despite knowing Jesus as my Saviour, despite knowing my Heavenly Father, I always felt like something was just missing a little bit? And do you know that there is a whole lot more to be had in our relationship with Jesus than just attending church on a Sunday and saying a prayer before bed? Do you know that? Because I really didn't know that. For a long time, I did not know that there was more to be had for my relationship with God. So when I was 15, I went on a weekend away, a little bit like Letton, actually, with my best friend Leanne and her church. There we are. And I can only describe what happened over those 2 days as this. My relationship with God, everything I knew about Jesus and about my Father in heaven, everything I knew about being a Christian went from being two-dimensional to three-dimensional. During those 2 days away, I met with the Holy Spirit, the third person in what we call the Trinity, because there are three persons of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had been such an unknown to me, but on that weekend away, I was prayed for, I encountered and was filled with the Holy Spirit. I had people speak prophecies over me. I was introduced to speaking in tongues, and the worship band even had a drum kit. It was amazing. I didn't know that that could happen. I wouldn't change going to a church that emphasized the importance of reading the Bible and praying, but I thank God so much that in his time, he brought it all into the three-dimensional world when the Holy Spirit breathed his life into mine. And the biggest thing, I think, that I learned when I met the Holy Spirit was that our relationship with God isn't meant to be just one way. It's not like a portal that only goes from us to God, just straight up, or like that, or maybe like that, but up. It's not like that, because we can pray to God, yeah, we can. But he can also speak, and in fact, he loves to speak to us too. Now, for some here tonight, this might be like brand new information, like it was for me a few years ago. But assuming that there is the possibility that God is alive and he is well and he is able to speak to you, I'm going to give you just another 30 seconds. And I would love you to just think and name some of the ways that God might speak to us. Okay, so are you ready? Go. Okay, 30 seconds is up. Did you get some? Yeah? Like one nod? Okay, I'll give you a list and see if you got them. So these are just some of the ways that God can speak to us. Through the Bible, through dreams, like in the book of Daniel. I've personally never had a dream from God, I don't think. But I'd be really cool with that. That'd be good. Pictures, through objects, through things, through people around us, through common sense, through circumstances, through creation, and there's probably loads of others too that I've missed. But for now, we've seen that the Bible talks about sheep, and that they can hear the voice of their shepherd, and how that's like us hearing God's voice. But what else does the Bible have to say about prophecy? Because believe you me, it's got a lot to say. Okay, Old Testament is the first chunk of the Bible. It was written before Jesus lived on the earth. The Holy Spirit was poured out onto specific people for specific jobs, including prophecy. Now, there weren't very many people who were recognized as prophets, but those that were spoke the unquestioned word of God. They were given huge authority, so much authority that even the king of the land had to listen and obey the prophecies. But, and here's the catch, if the prophets got it wrong, they were stoned to death. So that was quite a severe punishment for that. So that's what Old Testament prophecy before Jesus looked like. So then we get to the New Testament. Jesus is now in the mix, and he's ready to shake things up a bit. There are three main differences between the Old Testament and New Testament prophecies. So here we go. Number one, prophecy is no longer just reserved for a few. It's not just for the selected prophets. So instead, as it was prophesied actually in the Old Testament, and it's now quoted in Acts in the New Testament, it says this. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days and they will prophesy. So the Holy Spirit is going to be poured out on all people. All people. That includes you and that includes me. So number one, prophecy is now for everyone. Number two is that the authority of prophecy has now changed. So we're now encouraged to test prophecies. We don't just take them as like the unquestioned word of God like in the Old Testament. We can test them. And now in the Old Testament, you did not test a prophecy. Oh my goodness, no. You just obeyed it, right? So now it's different. We are called to test them. And the really, really good news is that now if we get a prophecy wrong, we are 100% not stoned to death. So it's all good. Pressure's off. And finally, number three. The things that are prophesied have changed. So in the Old Testament, it was all about the present and the future. Whereas now, in the New Testament and nowadays, it's kind of linked to all things related to the gifts of knowledge. So, for example, gifts of encouragement, gifts of wisdom, gifts of guidance, as well as insight into the future, the present, and the past. So basically, any gift connected to hearing what God is saying to us. And this bit's really key. It's all about our relationship between us and our Father in heaven. It's all about hearing his voice. So you might be thinking, okay, Grace, this prophecy stuff sounds quite cool. And maybe, yeah, maybe it is for me. Maybe it is for everyone. But how? How do I do it? And that would be a very, very valid question. So when I trained to be a youth worker in London, one of the church leaders taught me about prophecies being a bit like riddles. And here's a reference from the Bible if you want to check that out. So let me try and explain how prophecies tend to go personally for me. So I'll be praying for someone, and what I'll do is I'll just ask God to show me something about that person that he'd like to talk to me through. I'm a very, very visual person. I love pictures, I love colour. So it's usually something like someone's item of clothing or just something about them that I can see with my eyes. So here's an example. I went to a conference once and I was praying for this guy that I'd never ever met before. And I was really, really drawn to the fact, I have no idea why, well, because God told me, to the fact that he was wearing sneakers, Converse, trainers, right? So I was like, oh, that's weird that I'm thinking about trainers. So I started thinking, okay, maybe God wants to speak to me through his trainers. So I've noticed what it is that God's drawn me to. So then I think, okay, what is it then, God? Come on. So Converse are trainers. And then I was thinking, okay, what is it about a trainer? So a trainer is someone that teaches something. So I thought, okay, maybe this guy teaches something. So then I said, okay, God, maybe that's it. What would you want to say to him about teaching? And I just felt the Lord say, encourage him in his teaching. So I'm thinking, I've literally never met this guy before. He's going to think I'm weird. So I just went for it. And I said, I just wonder if you potentially might be a teacher. And then he was like, yeah. And I was like, oh, okay, phew. And he is a church leader, and he heads up all of the teaching that goes on in his church. So I'm thinking, for you? And then I say, okay, I just go on and I explain that I feel like the Lord wants to encourage him in his teaching. And I think by the end, he was actually quite built up. He was feeling like, yeah, that's great. God wants to bless me in my teaching. So there we go. There's just one little example. And as I said, this is just how God often speaks to me. But it honestly, honestly will be different for all of us. I very, very rarely get given a Bible verse from God because I am terrible at remembering numbers, like seriously bad. But for other people, I know that that might be the main way God speaks to them through the Bible. Now, it's very hard to explain how someone gets a word of knowledge. To hear that it just pops into your head isn't really very helpful. So I've got some top tips for you when prophesying for other people to try and help you work out what risks to take and when to stay a bit safe. So here we go, some safety nets. First one, is your prophetic word strengthening, encouraging, and comforting? If it's not, don't share it. Wait. The gift of prophecy is there to build people up. You need to, if you feel like you've got a negative prophecy from God, share it with a leader. Share it with someone that is more experienced than you in their gift of prophecy. Because we really don't want to hurt people. It's there to encourage, strengthen, and comfort people. The next one. When sharing a prophetic word with someone... This is funny. Oh, no, that sounds funny. Start with something like, I wonder if the Lord might be saying, rather than, God says this. It's just safer. It keeps us less risky. It kind of puts no pressure, because if he doesn't say that, it's fine. Start with something like, he might be saying, or maybe saying. Okay, we need a bit of a rule here, people. Just one rule. I don't really like rules, but this is a rule. Please, please, please do not prophesy over someone. Dates, mates, babes, or healings. So in other words, please do not say to someone, God says, because you wouldn't say start with God says, in 2 months' time, you're going to meet the husband or wife of your dreams. You're going to have 3 babies, and the leg pain that you've had for 5 years is going to be healed tomorrow. Because actually, that is just not helpful. It's way too emotional. And to be honest, we just need to be a little bit careful about these things. We pray for all of them. We pray and we pray and we pray, and we will not stop praying for them. But prophecy is just a little bit too far. So just be careful there. We don't want to make promises that we can't keep, and we don't want it to be wishful thinking. This one's a funny one. Okay. If you've noticed something about the person that God has then spoken to you through, don't share with the person what it was. So, for example, I was looking at your arm and I saw a massive wart, and God may be saying this. That's just not going to be very nice for the person, okay? So you just want to steer clear of sharing those things. It's just not needed. Okay, next one. Prophecy will never contradict the Bible, okay? Some people like to use, but God said, to justify that action. So God said to me that sleeping with my boyfriend is fine. Well, actually, the Bible would disagree with that. And so if the Bible says something is wrong or right, then that is our ultimate authority. And it may be that actually you've heard that wrong. So just remember, the Bible is always going to be in line with prophecies. And the last one on our safety nets. When you're done sharing your prophetic word, why not pray for the person? It's really good to do that. Ask the Lord to bless them and kind of pray about the word that you've shared. Out loud is really good, because then they know, the person that you've been prophesying over knows what you're saying. So that was really good. Okay, so some tight ropes. I actually always thought tight ropes were called type ropes. Did anyone else ever think that? No, okay, just me. I don't know why, because it doesn't make any sense that they're called type ropes. Right, okay, let's get some. The question I hear the most often, but how do I know it's God? How do I know it's God's voice and it's not just me? And I want to be honest, you actually are never sure. That is kind of part of the fun. I've sort of learned that that now makes it quite fun. Because if you wait until you are 100% sure that you have directly heard from God and what you're about to share is 100% accurate, you will be waiting forever. Like, you will be waiting till heaven. So just go for it, okay? I promise, and I'm not just saying this, it's often the first thing that comes into your mind. The more random, the better, because that just shows that it's not likely to be you thinking of this random thing that's just come to you, okay? But we're going to practice it later, so don't worry. Okay, next one. Boldness is necessary. If we do not take risks in prophecy, we will miss out on seeing God impact people's lives, we'll miss out on being used by him, and we'll miss out on having some stories of our own to tell. Expectation of God to speak. We need to be clear that God loves us, He does not want to stand us up. He wants to bless others through us, and he really, really does want to talk to us. Practicing is so important, because we get more accurate, we get better at recognizing God's voice. And places that are safe to practice are like at the point, maybe at church, maybe when you're praying with some friends. These are all really, really good opportunities for us to practice. Be brave. Say what you get. Because even if it seems weird, and you might feel like you're going to look a bit silly, you just never know how God's going to use it. It is really, honestly, usually, the first thing that comes to us. So just go for it. Step out. This is really important, this next one. This is honestly so true, this one. If you want to grow in your gift of prophecy, if you want to get more accurate, if you want to get more confident, time with God is absolutely key. Time in the hidden, in the secret place where no one else can see you, with our Father, just you and him, is going to be so key to getting more confident and more accurate in prophecy. If we don't know him, how can we expect to hear his voice? Okay, last couple of things. What happens when you don't hear anything? What happens when you've been like, God, I want you to speak, and then you're like, great, nothing? It's okay. It's totally fine. There is no pressure. It does take practice. It takes practice for us to learn what the voice of God sounds like for us. But I would say this. Don't strive, okay? Don't be like, I need a word. God, speak to me. Because if you're stressing, where's the space for God to speak? I so do that sometimes. When you're like, they're going to ask me in like a minute. Quick. That's just like them filling my head with, oh my goodness, I need to think of something really quickly. See what I mean? We need to just chill. We need to be creative. We need to work out how it is that God speaks to us the best. And just enjoy listening to God. Then it will flow. And then it will be great. So we can ask for the gift of prophecy. Paul in the New Testament writes in 1 Corinthians 14, follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. I love that. He's like, especially prophecy. Isn't it amazing that we can ask with confidence, because God loves us as his children, for good gifts like prophecy? Isn't that amazing that we can just ask him? So here's my summary for you. Prophecy is for everyone. If you are a Christian, prophecy is for you. If you have said, Jesus, I'm yours. I want to give absolutely everything to follow you because you gave everything for me. Prophecy is for you. It is a gift from our Heavenly Father that he would love to give you because you are his child and because the Holy Spirit is already within you. I love this. Psalm 139, my favorite psalm, says this, that his thoughts for us outnumber grains of sand. Can you imagine a beach, right? Just like one beach. How many grains of sand? I don't know. Times that by all the beaches in the world. That's how many thoughts. Isn't that amazing? Don't you want to know what some of those thoughts that he has for us are? Because I really want to know what thoughts he has about me. All we have to do is ask and listen. Because the sheep listen to the shepherd. They recognize and they know his voice. What's the time? Oh, fantastic. I've been speaking for too long, but maybe I spoke quickly. So what we're going to do now, because I love this. There's no point just talking about these things, right? Because that's just chat. That's just me chatting. We're going to do it. Are you up for it? Some people are. Well, I'm afraid actually you don't really have a choice. We are all going to do this. Seriously. It's going to be great. It's going to be so much fun. So what we're going to do is we're going to, just in a second, we're going to stand up and we're going to pray. And I would just love you, if you've never done this before, to just put your hands out as a sign of, actually, God, I want to hear from you, and I love you, and I just want to show with my body, with my hands, that I'm here for you. I'm stood in this place, and I'm putting my hands out because I love you. And we're going to ask God to give us the gift of prophecy. Some people might already think, yeah, I've done that. Great, ask for more gifting. If you've never done that, this is your chance, because actually God loves to give his children good gifts. So we're going to do that. And then we're going to do some really fun, like I promise there'll be fun, activities around prophecy. So are we up for this? Come on, people. Right, why don't we all stand to our feet and get a little bit less or more comfortable, depending how you feel. Everyone all right? Yeah, cool. So I'm just going to invite you to just shut your eyes just for a minute. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, or you're not really sure if you are, maybe you want to find out a little bit more about Jesus, what he's like, what living with him is like, because actually he's really where it's at. Like, he is amazing. So Matt is going to just be over in that corner at the back. So if that's you, why don't you just go find him in a minute? And he'll be really happy to chat and pray for you and answer any questions. Do you know that the God who stretched out his hand and created stars, who spoke one word and there was light, who created leaves and snowflakes and oceans and dolphins, and even more incredibly, you and me, this God is the God that we can ask to speak to us. Isn't that amazing? This is the God that loves you. This is the God that wants to give you good things and good gifts. So I'd just like to invite you to just put your hands out, just like we said, like as a sign to show that we're here for God, that we love him, that we just want what he has for us. And if what I've been chatting about tonight has made any sense to you, which it may or may not have done, why don't you just ask God for this gift of prophecy? Why don't you say, God, I don't really get it. I don't really know if I can, but I want it. I want you to speak to me. I want you to use me to speak to other people. I want to hear accurately from you. I want to have insight. I want to be able to speak your truth over people so that they know that you're real too. Why don't you just say in your heart, God, please give me this gift of prophecy now. So yeah, come Holy Spirit, would you pour out your gift of prophecy now on everyone in this room that wants it. When we ask God for these gifts with it, we don't just have to think, oh, have I got it? Have I not? Oh, maybe not this time. Do you know what? You have it. If you've asked for it, you have it, because the Father doesn't just like tempt us with gifts and then take them away. He gives them lavishly because he loves us that much, because we're his children. So if you've asked God for the gift of prophecy tonight, do you know what? You have it. You'll need to practice. You'll need to actually use it, but you have it. We're gonna use it now, and we're gonna do. There's two options for you. I love options. And over this side of the room, we're gonna get into groups of five. The crops team are amazing and have collected some weird and wonderful objects, and they're gonna pop a tray in your group of five. And I'm going to talk you through an activity to do with that in a minute. So there's one option for you. It's going to be great. It's going to be fantastic. God's going to speak. And then over this side of the room, myself and the team, the POINT team, were praying before. And we felt God say some specific things for some people here that I would love to share. And if any of these speak to you, why don't you head to this side? Maybe you're here and actually none of these words that you think are for you, but you really want to get some prophetic encouragement, which just means having somebody listen to God and speak what they hear into your life. Maybe there's something that really speaks to you. This is for you. So I'm going to share these. Also, I'd like to encourage anyone that feels like they already have the gift of prophecy, that they're already quite practiced in it and they just want to practice more. Why don't you go over to this side and pray for your friends? Maybe you don't even know the person you're praying for, but why don't you use this as a chance to kind of go deeper in your gift of prophecy? Okay, so here are some of the things we were praying about. The first one was we felt like it's for someone that God's saying, it's time to sing again. Things have been quite tough for you, but God's going to give you a new song. It may be musical, that might just be symbolic for something else. A picture of a sound system that was all out of balance, and that God needs to come and reset some of the things in your life. It might be that some things need to be upped and some things need to be dialed down a bit. From the story of Moses splitting the sea, and just the feeling that God wants to help you to trust him in a storm, in something that's a bit tough in your life, and that actually God can split that sea and lead you to safety. Someone else, it might be that you feel like you read the Bible, but that everything's a little bit adult in your Christian walk, that actually it's not, maybe not that fun, maybe not that you, and actually just an encouragement that we need to be childlike in our faith, and that God is going to talk to you in a way that you can understand. So to just feel encouraged in that. I wondered if there might be someone that is struggling with generosity. Bit of a random one. There you go, there's a random one for you. But just that you might be struggling to be generous, or maybe you are struggling with something else to do with generosity. And then finally, that someone feels like they need to run away from something. It might be run away from God or from something in your life. Sorry, not finally. There's a few more. Somebody may be struggling with self-harm or has done in the past. And God would just really like to minister to you tonight. And then we're going to do a little bit later some stuff on healing. So if you've got any physical or emotional things that you need God to heal you of, we're going to spend a little bit of time on that. But first, we're going to split like the sea. So over this side, prophetic encouragement. If you want to use your gift in prophecy, why don't you head there? And if any of those words have spoken to you, why don't you head that side? Everyone else, that side, and you'll get your objects. Go for it.